which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath, not without a promise, for those who formerly became priests were made such without an oath. They were born into it. But this one was made a priest with an oath by the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever." This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. There's that emphasis on Jesus being better. So the old law is set aside because it's weak. Jesus Christ's priesthood is confirmed by God's promise, making the new covenant superior, than superior over the old covenant. And so we need to draw near to God confidently in prayer, but knowing Jesus intercedes for us. You know, when we're facing life's uncertainties and they overwhelm you, cling to this hope that his covenant is unbreakable. And then notice verse 23 on down through the end of the chapter before we go to the book of Genesis. He says, "The former priests were many in number." In other words, all those who came down the line of Levi, of Aaron, all those, there were many of those. There were hundreds of those priests who came down through the line of Aaron, through the tribe of Levi. Former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in the office. They couldn't stay a priest forever because every time you turned around, one of those were dying and somebody else became the high priest, and he died and somebody else became the high priest. But he holds his priesthood. Who holds his priesthood? The Messiah, Jesus, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He's always interceding before the Father as our high priest. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Not only the Jews, but also Gentiles. We have a high priest also who is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily, because what did they have to offer sacrifice? Not only for the people, they had to offer sacrifice for themselves, which means they were sinners, but not this one. He was perfect. He was complete. He had no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, the word of the promise which came later than the law, appoints a son, capital S there, who has been made perfect forever. Jesus is the Son of God. So the Levitical priest died, but Jesus lives forever. He is sinless, offering himself once, forever, for all. And so take your Bibles and go back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 14, because we're going to go back there and see a little bit more insight, because we're not Jewish. We would not have grown up learning the first five books of the Old Testament, which they would have. They would have studied those from childhood. They would have known the stories about Abraham and Lot and about this mysterious Melchizedek. And let's see what we can learn here about Melchizedek, and especially what does he teach us about Jesus. Well, the first thing we're going to see here in Genesis chapter 14, verse 17 down to verse 23, is that the first thing we're going to see about Abraham is that Abram overcame, because he was Abram at that point, overcame the world and received a blessing. He receives this blessing from Melchizedek. Notice verse 17 down to verse 23. We'll just begin with verse 17 to start with. After his return, after Abram's return from going out and defeating those kings that had taken Lot, and he goes to rescue Lot there, and he defeats them. After his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer, and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That is the king's valley. So let's just stop right there. He's coming back from having rescued Lot. The king of Sodom sees Abraham coming. He sees he's victorious. And this king of Sodom, who normally wouldn't have even given Abraham the time of day, comes out to meet him because he won the battle. He wants to be on Abram's good side. Now, out there in the valley, somebody else comes that day. There are two kings that appear that day. Go on down to verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Now, there's something really beautiful that you'll see there if you really read those words. Read those words again in verse 18. And let me know if you see something in those verses that it reminds you of. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Something beautiful here. I want you to see it. Abram's victorious. He's coming back. What he has done is rescue a brother. And now as he comes back victorious, two kings come out to meet him. The king of Sodom, the king of Salem. Sodom's the wicked king. Sodom stands for everything that is vile and wicked in the Bible. It stands for the world. And now along comes this second king, king of Salem. The king of Salem has an unusual name. Melchizedek is his name. The king of Sodom, as we said, represents the world. The king of Salem represents the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read back in chapter 7 in Hebrews, verse 1 through verse 4, where he tells us and explains that to us. So here you find the description of Melchizedek. When you go back to chapter 7 of Hebrews, you notice the end of verse 1 and verse 2, that is that he ties to him, and now Melchizedek was the king of righteousness. But then when you read, you see the bottom line here in verse 4, he was a patriarch. Abraham was a patriarch, our father. So what's the writer of Hebrews telling us? He's telling us that the man who met Abram when he came back, he represents Jesus Christ. He doesn't say that he is Jesus Christ, but he represents Jesus Christ. He's an Old Testament type, an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why was he a type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, we've already mentioned that he is a priest king at the same